I think people really need to talk to their business owners. Politicians and the people that are the decision makers need to start listening to the businesses, because we're the ones that are having to figure it out on the fly. We're the ones that are having to solve these issues ourselves and come up with alternatives to figure this out.
Welcome to another NFIB California podcast. Our podcasts aim to provide a deeper look into the state issues of the day that affect Main Street small business owners. My name is Tony Malandra, NFIB California's Senior Media Manager. We're proud to have this podcast supported in part by Five Star Bank, serving customers through specialized banking solutions for entrepreneurs, business owners, and community leaders in Northern California. Each podcast invites a special guest to speak on a topic of his or her expertise. Today's topic couldn't be timelier: supply chain disruptions. In the most recent poll of our membership, 82% of small business owners said supply chain disruptions were a significant or moderate issue. 62% said it was worse than it was 3 months ago, and 72% expected the problem to continue for more than 6 months. Today's guest has a firsthand experience dealing with supply chain disruptions, and here to tell you about them is NFIB California State Director John Kabatek. Welcome, John. Take it away.
Thanks so much, Tony, and welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for this wonderful podcast. This is a great opportunity to make sure that small business owners are getting information they need in real time, and they're hearing from others who are experts out there. There's no better experts out there than you, the small business owners. And that's why we're so excited to have our very special guest, Paul Kramer, with us. He is a small business owner, a great NFIB member, and somebody who has been, like a lot of you out there, facing the challenges of this pandemic and so much more here in California. Paul Kramer, just to give you a little bit of his background, is vice president and director of operations for his family-owned business, Star Milling Company, in Perris, California. His Riverside County-based business manufactures pet and animal food, which is distributed on the West Coast, in Hawaii, and exported to many countries in the Pacific Rim and Mexico. Paul's a fourth-generation resident of Southern California. He attended the University of Southern California, fight on, I might say, where he earned a degree in business administration, emphasizing in corporate accounting and real estate from the Marshall School of Business in 2004. Paul serves on the boards of many organizations, very involved in business issues. He's currently the vice president of Riverside County Farm Bureau. He's a member and past leadership council member of the National Federation of Independent Business here at NFIB. He's a board member of the California Grain and Feed Association. And Paul is also on many advisory committees for the American Feed Industry Association, a big advocate for agriculture, for agribusiness, for small business. So excited to have Paul with us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Paul Kramer. Paul, great to have you with us.
Thank you, John.
Well, Paul, let's just jump right in if we could. And congratulations to you also. I know you at Star Milling, we were talking earlier, and you know, well, unlike many, unfortunately, that are downsizing and scaling back, and you've been facing a lot of challenges. I know you've been trying to build and trying to expand, but you're still facing a lot of those challenges, not the least of which I know has been supply chain disruption. So maybe I just might start, Paul, by asking you, hey, you know, has there ever been supply chain issues of this magnitude in your memory for this length of time before? Have you seen this kind of disruption before?
Well, for the most part, when you're in manufacturing, especially in agriculture and food manufacturing industry, there's always going to be supply challenges, whether it's from an ingredient supplier, whether it's from a packaging supplier. There's always various complications. This situation is unique because everything is happening at the same time. Fortunately, we're in an industry that is designated essential, and so there are provisions that were started to be put in place early last year to make sure that the transportation of goods for the food and feed industry were prioritized. That still leaves challenges. So we have challenges from the port that everybody is aware about, the challenge of getting things in a timely manner to your facility. The other challenge is having a consistent schedule of things getting to the port and being exported, which has become a challenge. The railroads are also having challenges staffing crews because of labor shortages that are due to COVID, and the trucking industry is having challenges getting ingredients and other supplies to us and fellow business owners in our industry because of labor shortages, but that's mainly due to legislative action.
Yeah, you know, when people hear the words supply chain and logistics and kind of point A to point B out there, a lot of people don't understand. Tell us a little bit about Star Milling, what you do, the company, and that I think you explained a little of it right now, but how that supply chain process takes place and why this is such a challenge for you.
Star Milling Company has primarily been an animal feed manufacturer since its start back in the 1970s, dealing with poultry, rabbits, other small animals, and fish and equine. Our primary objective is dealing with farms, and that's production agriculture. So our priority is to get feed and other types of food to poultry farms, fisheries, small animal facilities such as rabbit, which eventually those animals end up in the human food chain. So we're kind of at the bottom level of this. Where the logistical problems come into play for us are the basic ingredients, since we are the manufacturer of this finished feed. And also where it comes into play is getting in packaging ingredients that we actually have to put the food into. So there's a thing that occurs since we also do a lot of retail, and that is prioritizing the animal agriculture side of it. Since, you know, a poultry farm can't run out of feed, you need to prioritize that. So if you're short on ingredients, you're prioritizing that and you're taking that production away from your retail section. It's been a challenge. I think it's been a challenge this year more than last year. But when you can't get the basic ingredients to do things, you're short feed. And when you're short feed, those producers can't get food to their animals. And when they can't get food to their animals, their timelines drop off. They have to find alternatives where to get something else. And so it just kind of dominoes all the way through the food chain. And when prices go up and so forth, like we're seeing now, we see it at the bottom level. Our prices go up to the producers. The producers then have to raise their prices to the stores or the restaurants. And then that's how the end user, as we call them, sees it when they either buy poultry or other meat from a store or go to a restaurant to have a nice meal.
Wow, there are so many components to it. Just the whole, it's not point A to point B. It's like point A to point B. A1, A2, A3, A5, it's crazy and very complicated and nowadays costly. Paul, how are you dealing with it? I mean, obviously, you've got to keep the doors open and keep people working and all that. I mean, this is a really tough time. How is Star Milling adjusting to it? How can small business owners adjust to it?
I think a lot of it has to do with adjusting your lead times for stuff coming in. A lot of the stuff, such as packaging material and other durable goods that we include into our production process, you have to stretch out your lead times, but that puts a pressure on your accounts payable. You're having to put out more cash to get more inventory in at one time. The other way that you're dealing with it on the non-durable goods, such as a raw ingredient, is you're trying to order more. But the problem is that if you're setting up more of a long position to purchase ingredients, then you have possible spoilage issues. So there's a lot of additional expense that occurs to a business owner trying to make sure that they have the inventory available that will sustain them, you know, if a truck can't make it to deliver an ingredient 1 week, or the railroad can't spot cars at your facility for a week. It puts a big inventory burden on the business owner.
Have you had to scale back on employee benefits or even layoffs or anything like that? Has there been any personnel challenges or even, you know, having to cut vendors because of this? Or how about along those lines?
We haven't had to do that, fortunately. We've maintained a pretty steady workforce. We've been able to keep up with employees' cost of living. We haven't had to cut back anything. The challenge becomes when you have people going in and out of the workforce. We have a pretty stable workforce, but there are positions that you do have movement in and out. And that's become the challenge, just because the labor pool is not as good as it was.
That's true. I mean, I know the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, you know, recently said he's never seen these kinds of supply chain issues. He's never seen an economy that combines dramatic labor shortage with a lot of unemployed people. So if the Fed chair can't figure it out, Paul, who can?
I think people really need to talk to their business owners. There was a tweet that Newsom put out, I believe it was 2 days ago, and he said, we're going to lift the weight restriction temporarily to help alleviate congestion at the ports. I don't know where he heard that suggestion from directly, but I had started hearing about that over a month ago, and it was in small business groups, it was in association groups. Politicians and the people that are the decision makers need to start listening to the businesses, because we're the ones that are having to figure it out on the fly. We're the ones that are having to solve these issues ourselves and come up with alternatives to figure this out. And so I think it would be best if, you know, people like the Federal Reserve Chairman, which he probably is getting advice from the top guys in business organizations or agricultural organizations and asking those questions of, how do your members figure these problems out so they can keep their businesses going? Because obviously the businesses are continuing to do things and they're having to do things in this environment. So there's a lot of smart people that know how to figure this out on an individual problem basis. And those people need to be listened to so that as collectively they can figure this out on a policy basis.
We'll be back with more from Paul Kramer right after this.
Hi, I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. We are excited to help bring you this series of podcasts focused on small business concerns in conjunction with the NFIB. When Five Star Bank was founded in 1999, it was business and community leaders, local entrepreneurs, who wanted to create the sort of personalized banking services they desired themselves. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. A true understanding of the needs of small business owners. I know a meaningful relationship with a banker can be hard to find. At Five Star Bank, we are responsive, understand your business, and are committed to your success. We want to be a part of your growth and a valued partner supporting your vision and your dreams. You'll find direct access to a banker, complete online and mobile business banking you need to succeed. As an SBA preferred lender, let us help you with your startup business or existing business. If you're looking to make a change, please give us the opportunity to demonstrate what our personalized banking services could mean for you. I promise you individual attention from our colleagues who understand your business and are as committed to your success as you are. You can find us online at fivestarbank.com.
We're back with Paul Kramer talking about supply chain disruption. The NFIB joined many of the leading business groups at the statewide level and locally and regionally, and including others that you've been a part of, you know, the Farm Bureau and others, in a letter to the governor and state leaders urging them to address this head on and fix this once and for all. The regulatory environment being a real challenge here. It was before COVID. It was before the port congestion. But, you know, I guess you're answering one of the questions I had, Paul, which is this is both the state's got to do some stuff to fix this as well as the federal government. Well, what, in your opinion, what else could they do? There's other regulations. There's other things out there that maybe even preceded this pandemic and this congestion. But in your opinion, if you could pull some levers from the governor's office or in the White House, what would be a couple of things that could at least start to get this unclogged?
Well, I think one of the other things that can be done is to temporarily suspend some of the CARB requirement on vehicles. I know that there's Tier 4 requirements for trucks that go into the port. That's a huge issue. AB5 has played a huge role in this too, as a lot of truckers can't really run an independent operation anymore. I mean, we're seeing this on our business, where we're resorting to picking up our own ingredients now, whereas in the past, you would rely on independent trucking companies. And a lot of those guys have left for multiple reasons, which are self-employment reasons and then also environmental regulations with tier compliance for their vehicles. There's a lot of different things that can be looked at as a temporary suspension. And hopefully a lot of those could be extended. But these problems, they're not necessarily unforeseen. A lot of them are our own fault. And it's crises like these that kind of pull the blanket over so that everybody can see what's underneath it.
That's very true. And I was going to say for the listeners out there who heard the term AB5, it was a terrible law that was has had so many consequences, which narrowly redefines, you know, independent contractor, if not completely all but eviscerates that role of an independent contractor and the value of that, including with truckers and many others. It's just been a mess. And you're absolutely right, Paul. They're having buyer's remorse, even the author and others realizing that it's got to be fixed. So that's just one of many, many parts of this mess that's got to be fixed. Paul, let me ask you this. You know, do you think, just looking at this, that this port congestion problem is going to be long term? What's your prognostication as you're looking at it from a small business perspective? You're seeing it. You're in the trenches. Do you feel like it's going to go well into next year? What's your guess?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I once got some advice from somebody, and they had told me, if anybody tells you they know exactly what's going to happen, they're lying to you. What I see from our perspective is that it's not something that's going to go away anytime soon. I believe in July, the Longshoremen's Union has their contract coming up, so that could cause some problems. I'm hoping it doesn't. But there's such a backlog of things that are going on that I could foreseeably see for the next few years where you just have a 30 to 60 day backlog on containers coming in, and businesses can adjust to that. I mean, like I said earlier, they're going to have to change their inventory management, and it's going to be a burden on them. But unless there's a real concerted effort to figure out things like, you know, the governor just did of lifting the weight restrictions on vehicles coming out of the port, whether you're changing, you know, shift hours and so forth, whether you're changing requirements on ships and if they have to have a certain amount of containers full before they leave, there's all kinds of things out there that can help solve this problem. It worked before this, but they didn't adjust to anything when things were starting to change. I think that things can get back to normal or close to it, but I don't see it anytime in the near future, at least the next year.
Well, as we're at least talking to and kind of winding this down, but talking a little bit about literally and proverbially turning that Maersk ship, turning some corners here in the right direction and getting into the port. You know, what are some words of wisdom, words of hope, Paul, that you might have for your fellow small business owners out there?
Well, it's a very interesting business environment right now. You, on one hand, you basically have everything going for the business in terms of the ability to finance stuff. You know, for businesses, most businesses can account for inflation. Unfortunately, inflation is just a regressive tax on the people who can least afford it, but businesses can adjust to it. You have strong demand for most any product that you're trying to sell. But on the other side of that, you know, you have the supply chain issues. For for us, for example, you've got great interest rates on equipment financing, but you can't find the equipment. So essentially your entire growth projection is flat in a sense, because you've got one side that's indicating you have a great market that you're in, and then you've got another side that's presenting offsetting challenges. So for the business owners out there, you know, my words of advice would be, you know, make sure you're watching your numbers, make sure you're, you know, doing the best you can to stay within the parameters that you can in terms of sales and the ability to sell, and make sure that you're doing a good job of not taking on too much debt if you don't need to, because as we kind of go into these inflationary cycles like we're in, and you start getting problems with inventory because of supply chain, cash is going to be king, and your ability to keep inventory on hand to satisfy your customers is going to be the most important thing that you can do. So that would be my words of advice.
Excellent, excellent words to close on. Wishing upon a star from a star of star milling, Paul Kramer. Paul, we are so grateful to have you. Also grateful to have you as part of the NFIB leadership, and also just out there, most importantly, as a great voice for your fellow small business owners. I don't know if there's any closing remarks you have, Paul, but we're just so grateful to have you with us. Any last words you'd like to share before I turn it back over to Mr. Malandra?
I'd just like to say, John, thank you for the opportunity, Tony, as well. And I really appreciate coming on and talking about things that we're going through, because I think most people are going through the same stuff in one form or the other. For most people out there, stay vigilant. You know, the job market is getting a little bit better, but, you know, costs are going up, and we all just need to monitor that and make sure that we stay in a position to take advantage of anything that pops up in the future.
And because we know that small business owners never met a sandwich board they didn't like, and it's so important to get your word out there as a small business. Paul, if people wanted to do business with Star Milling or find out more about Star Milling, where can they go?
They can visit our website, www.starmilling.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. You can just go to our website and you can find out all about our company, all about our business. And if there are small business owners out there that have any questions, they can contact NFIB or something, and I'd be more than happy to talk to them as well.
Excellent. Paul Kramer, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and hope you have a good rest of the year, rest of the 2022 looking ahead, and great, great things to come for you, your family, and for Star Milling. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I think what I'll do now is turn this back over to our star MC, Mr. Tony Melandra. I can't use that word enough, Tony.
Well, thank you, John. And thank you, Paul Kramer, for your informative insights on this podcast. Again, we'd like to thank Five Star Bank for its generous support of this and future podcasts. You can find all of NFIB California's podcasts at nfib.com/ca/podcasts. You can also find our podcast on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. I would also like to thank Multipoint Content Strategy for its production of this podcast. You can learn more about them at multipointstrategies.com. Why podcasts for small business? It has been NFIB's educational mission for 78 years to remind policymakers that small businesses are not smaller versions of big businesses, and that a one-size-fits-all rule, regulation, or tax can do Main Street enterprises more harm than good. We hope these podcasts aid in better understanding. Finally, thank you to our listeners. If you liked what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a positive rating. We would appreciate it.